Councillor Casey on Councillor Gordon's, and the chairperson's remarks, I think it would be appropriate for us at this committee to send a letter of condolence to the chairperson of council due to the circumstances for her personally. And if the committee would agree to that.
We have been to an emergency meeting in our head present the other day, and there's a serious issue as a woman with the kickabout area, which I think was maintained by the council. It was an issue raised last year that there would be a regular cleanup done of the pitch. This has never happened. They're asking now that maybe a major cleanup would be done and then continued on a regular basis. There's also something that needs to be under arranging with council on getting some sort of legging in the area. It's to the area of houses and to the gardens. It's a facility that is being wasted because it can't be used in the evening time. It is an area which is behind with the number of anti-social behaviour. And there needs to be some sort of lighting put in place. It will come some way to addressing the social behaviour problem.
This chair, I think his officers will take that away and come back with some options to consider in the future.
Before we see any further, can I just remind councillors that our meetings are being recorded, so please use the microphones, and if you're finished speaking, just kind of take them off, because you don't know what we picked up. So, any declarations of conflict of interest? Not recorded. We can make way on the action sheet, please. We can go through it case by case. We have page 1, page 2. Any issues on the action sheet?
Sorry, Chair, I'm not sure if this is an appropriate place to bring it up, but probably a couple of months or more ago, I written to Joe Parks about preventing compostable bags for kitchen tallies. And in the other one, the Down Legacy area, there was one row of bags provided for the kitchen caddies and no further ones. And I basically have got a number of inquiries. Sherry has given them of council not to provide the compostable bags. And since they're the KBC council do provide them throughout the year. Really was wanting the council to have a look at the fact that we're setting the kitchen waste. There's a big savings in the disposal costs for kitchen waste and background waste. And would look at the savings that there are, and that would provide cover the cost of compostable bags, and I think a bit more than that, what they should. But I'm just thinking, what basically did is, Chair, because Joe's off, it has started running on for 2 months now, and I'm just wondering when is it? As I say, I've been planning to say it's going to be Dabla, but it's never been put on the agenda for this meeting, so really it's something we'd like to brought to this forum.
And because Joe has seen this, yeah, it's similar issue, yeah. It's actually a approach I received from local business. It was a similar issue where two bags, at this moment in time, business from Ireland's bags are asked in the Greenberg to collect them. Lots of people are quite busy, particularly if they're sold trailers, so this is what a question of these with me is. Where maybe the customer could look at a system where another refuge collection service has been provided, or if there's some system where the bags could be left at that business on that day of the refuge collection service, rather than say a constant request within the Greenberg or any council office, whatever it may be, to collect those bags, that some system comes up. And I don't see it being a major issue in terms of costs or even manpower or whatever out there. But I think maybe the people could some way to assist the businesses on this and try and find the system or some way where the bag could be actually left for them, but even for a request or a simple one with a sticker or whatever maybe on the necessarily, but when the bags are like given to the rapid scratching service on the days and places,
contacted by constituency. There's concerns along the same lines of why they were expected to pack paper bags as part of the council's recycling strategy, yet other local authorities were given out their recycled bags free. So again, I said we'll pass that concerns on and we're able to look into it and possible and that can be sent to Joe, which some of the people are covering also, just looking at the website.
Just
to conclude, having with the comments that have been made, I think it probably needs to be tabled for a proper discussion and officers there to bring across and sort of back to the committee so we get some idea of what we're talking about, either in their free bags or their subsidized bags. Because there are considerable amount of money when the major retailers and particularly people on low incomes, we're trying to get everybody involved in, recycling and particularly our food waste. We can't have obstacles in front of people's way, so particularly what I found here, there was serious odors with the bins. There was a lot of flies, a lot of maggots and that type of stuff, and people found the bins when they weren't using the bags, and they were really, really nasty smell coming from the bins, so I think it's in everybody's interest that we can find a solution to the problem.
Yes, Chair. Apologies, actually, that certainly the issue of tin liners and the issue of them and the cost and so on, we had intended on incorporating that aspect within the Brown Bin Review evaluation paper, which Joe was to bring at the last committee, but unfortunately was off sick and is still off sick. So we are going to now bring that review evaluation paper to the next RTS. And within that, the discussion around the issues that we found practically in terms of liners, access to liners, whether they're charged for, whether they're free, that will be incorporated in that report, which does allow you to discuss the options that we're also bringing in respect of that, including the issue of commercial and shop usage in terms of the bins, the bin liners, and what options again are available for us to consider. Reflecting on the evaluation that we've conducted over the last couple of months.
That's is a hollow question, I think.
It's a recent visit to the lock-in stands.
I was brought to the attention of those when we have solar powered bins in the district, I think around Newcastle, and some collectors, but more or less there's been the point is we're here with Will Gainaldi and that we were trialled for 3 years acceptance and just wondered if we would have an update as to whether solar powered bins or whatever were going to go right across a bit of the district and places, but I'm thinking the spin bins in the Newcastle area that were presented to me, for to be half license for it, so they are a bit open up to that point. And those were just some of the solar trial bases in the other case.
So, Chair, I'm not aware we have solar powered bins, so I need to look into that.
Thank you. All happy with the MCC?
Yes, thank you.
All agree. So, if we can move on then to item 4, which is the report on the issues surrounding the motorhome campervan with heaps of council car parks in Newcastle County Down. And, Paul, if I can pass it to yourself.
Thank you, Chair. Okay. Members, you have a report in front of you, so I'll just briefly run through some of the important points on the report for your amendment. You may be aware that the council has received numerous complaints from other residents about motorhomes oversharing their welcome within certain car parks in Newcastle. The car parks have been identified as being problematic for Down the Road and the Glen River car parks. And the nature of the complaints range from vehicles occupying several lanes, staying beyond the permitted 12 hours limit, obscuring the views from others, and the lack of privacy for residents within their own homes.
We're seeing complaints that the motor homes are parking right outside boundary walls, and because of the height of the vehicle and people standing up in the vehicle, they're actually overlooking the six foot high walls into residents' bedrooms. So we're receiving complaints of those nature. However, the complaints came to the head over the duration of the festival flight in August, when the Glen River Car Park was designated for disabled drivers. However, motorhome vehicle owners arrived the night before and of the particular car park, and when they were asked to remove, they ignored the request to move. I believe that the current legislation is out of date. The existing legislation is basically existing tourism bylaws, which are difficult to enforce, and they don't even make any reference to motorhomes within the bylaws. There's a 12-hour rule within the existing bylaws where vehicles are not permitted to stay any longer than 12 hours, but this is very, very difficult for officers to enforce, because officers really need to be there for the whole time to identify that someone has stayed, because we are receiving information where people claim to be leaving after a couple of hours and then arriving back into exactly the same spot. So the 12-hour rule is difficult to enforce. Existing bylaws themselves have to be enforced through the courts. There's no facility for ourselves to issue fixed time notices within the bylaws, and we just think the judges would take a different view of the council actually taking enforcement of car parks and the interviews of car parks through their courts, and we don't think that the judges will see that as a high priority as far as we're concerned. So remember, just before you make a decision on tonight, you just need to be aware that we are concerned where if we make recommendations tonight and we enforce the recommendations, that we may receive other complaints from the owners of the mobile homes themselves, and also maybe also complaints from the local businesses, and that's a two-pronged thing, because some businesses might think that the mobile homes bring business to the town, and others think that they do not. So it's something that you just maybe need to take into consideration. The alternative to enforcement is to install height restriction barriers at the two sites. The height restriction barriers we readily will cost somewhere in the region between £6,000 and £9,000 to install. We have present other existing facilities within the area, and yes, we've identified two private touring parks on the outskirts of Newcastle. We've got Windsor Holiday Park and the Mormons Campsite Park as well. There are also four free car parks within the town centre. We've got Donard, we've got the Rockwood, Causeway Road and Shin Road. However, most of these don't have site frontage, and therefore they're not really desired just to be by these motorhome users. So I'm making four recommendations to you tonight. The first one is to install height restriction barriers at the Browns Road and then the River Car Park. The second one would be update our existing bylaws to recognise motorhomes within the bylaws themselves. And to introduce fixed handling notices for the possibility of us using fixed handling notices within the bylaws. And the last thing would just be to make a recommendation if we do decide to install the intersection barriers, to recommend the committee and inform the over coordinator so that the decision of the council and this committee can be addressed by the local councillors. So I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Park. Thanks for that. Thanks for the paper. And our statement next year, there was a serious tension between the local residents and visitors who frequent the car parks, particularly the woman at the side of her house, opposite Donald Park. That seems to be the main problem. Although at times you get really big campervans in the Downs Road, which causes a lot of tension with the people trying to get park, but they may take two or three spaces up. So I think the council has to do something in regards to this. And I suppose it's a strength of balance between residents' concerns
versus tourism. Tourist rights. When they come to town, we're all the welcome tourists to our town. We're investing a lot of money, particularly in the seafront. So we need to be mindful of their rights also. And I think they're in the balance to disrupt. I think the council, in my opinion, the council needs to, if we're going to take away car parking spaces, I think we need to look at providing additional car parking spaces elsewhere. Because you're just going to, in my opinion, you're going to have one somewhere else. They need to go to the car park towards the harbour car park itself, the Bloody Bridge car park. You know, so you're continuing to kick or push them to different car parks down the road. So, many of them, I would like a proposal of the recommendations during the festival flight, we opened up the overflow car park. Where we had a designated zone for camper vans. And I spoke from the day of festival day, I went up and spoke to camper van users. Would they use that sort of facility on a regular basis? And they were very happy to do so. And what I'm talking about is just a basic service, just enforcement officers open up the top overflow site. It's a nice location, it's a wooded area. And I don't think then that will compete with a car parking space in Donald Park itself. So I would like to add that probably to the recommendations. And the other point would be the design of the barrier. You know, we're talking about three barriers, as I said, we've invested, you know, tens of millions into our streetscape and also into our promenade, our seafront. I don't think we're ruining them, it's just putting up our standard barriers. They have to be of a, you know, a quality sort of design. Being at a wooden sort of gateway with them, or a galvanized finish, or a wrought iron finish, something with a bit of a character about it. So I think a bit of thought, a bit of detail has to go in that, because you don't want it to take away from that beautiful seafront. So That's my request. I'm happy to propose that we accept the recommendations with that added couple of caveats.
Councillor Craig?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm generally in favour of what Councillor Clark has put forward. I do think that the whole issue does need to be handled sensitively, and I do feel that, and I know Councillor Clark referred to this, about tourism. We certainly don't want to be discouraging tourism in any way, but yet we equally will have to balance that up with. We will have to have some controls on where people park, and clearly where they're parking in the various car parks, including the down road one, is not satisfactory. So I'm in agreement with the two parks which have proposed been closed off. We are in the business of encouraging tourism. And if we could just say, I would just like to ask Colm if he has looked at the model which is in the Cosby Coast Conveyance. There is in Port Rush, there is a car park which is near the Dublin Centre, which is exclusively used by camper vans. And they do have basic facilities there. I understand there are toilets, and I do understand the facility for disposal of chemical toilets. And I also think that the main hub for something for probably electricity, maybe on a metered basis, requiring whatever to get whatever hours you need. Although the big thing, most of the camper vans, most of the facilities are on gas anyway. But I would just like to think, could we look at that? Because I think as well as this year, we're going to have to look to the future. We don't want to discourage tourists in any way. I feel it's an important asset to have camper vans, so I do feel that we maybe should look at in the longer term and provide that facility, something along that they may have in the Northwest. So I'm generally happy with the recommendations, the four recommendations here, I'll be happy to second them.
And just to clarify, would that be the second the proposal made by Councillor Clark and then to
We'd have to recognise that overflow closes down at night, and we're allowing one of these caravans to come into Newcastle to stay overnight.
and that may cause an issue. Because if we've enforcement officers asking people to move, to leave at night, it may cause us an issue. You know, we can definitely consider the cost of implementing or introducing facilities within that area and provide yourselves with some sort of costings. I mean, to put yourself in the state where you want to go ahead for that. But just to be aware that there will be no overnight facilities within that overflow shop on the Donner.
Chair, can I just ask how is he aware of the sum of the days in Port Rush? Not a mention?
I'm not to be honest with you. I'm not aware of it. But it would be certainly interesting from the facilities that they have when we get some sort of costings for that. It might be a feature meeting and a costing for some of these benefits.
Can I just ask? Yeah, the Chair was saying the Councillor of North Devon was this morning, and she was planning how to look at it all, it's not an issue, so be delighted to support the recommendation, Chair. Thank you.
Yes, no, just saying, I'm really grateful for what I was hoping to be able to say. Certainly, yeah, I welcome the report, and I would be, you know, quite cautious that we don't want to be seen as a cold house for motorhome users, because a lot of them are coming from afar, and it is the only mode of transport once they get into the district, so certainly you don't want to be showing any sort of negative,
you know, towards
them. So certainly, yes, I would recommend that.
Thank you. Just go back in regards to the overnight stay for accommodation. The part of the overflow car park I'm talking about is the upper part, where it could stay open and the other part of the car park could be shut, and the access could be through Shell's Big Drive and not through the Donner Park itself. There's a separate access, so it's a separate gate as well. So I think it could be accommodated. We could maybe look at, you know, when you're doing your cost and that, look at maybe providing, you know, that eco friendly sort of surface where the grass can grow through the mountain. That might be an option, sort of cheap option. I think we need to do this because we're trying to grow our tourism product. And part of that is that international visitors, people come and they want to stay on a wooded area. I think it's a nice location. And I think once the message gets out among that sector of tourists, I think they will use it still, they will come to town, it will actually attract people with a gas in it. You know, it will actually bring people to Tillar and there's a facility available. You know, you certainly don't want to have any negativity in regards to that. We need to be careful that we're not, you know, eating in the private sector campsite, you know, when they've invested in their product as well. And, you know, we don't want to be providing two different buildings at the same time, we're not going to go to that the private sector.
So can you just quickly the name of it? What do you call that?
The Shanty Drive.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, this is one of the issues of local knowledge is key in this, and I would fully endorse the sentiments of financial correctness as stated here. The issues that could flow from this, we all want New Dalton to remain a welcome place or delighted of these channel balance. I suppose the advent, the explosion of social media, and that I'm sure they all talk to each other in groups. So it has to remain an open and welcome place for them. We don't want to end up losing them to the North Coast. Having said that, we cannot allow pop-up trailer parks to start to appear in our towns, no matter about the beauty of the surroundings. I would also share Council Tri's concerns, and I hope the column will take this on board. We're seeing now reacting retrospectively to a problem in two or three car parks. And I would be conscious that we may just push that on to other car parks, as Council Tri has suggested. So, as an alternative welcoming site for camper vans, I think is something that needs to be explored. So, thank you.
Is everyone happy with the suggestions that have been made? I'll open the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Creagh.
churches can help out a bit, but is it a fact that you don't proceed unless we have an alternative? Is that the recommendation?
So is it just for the explanation that happened before we proceed then?
Yeah.
So for the accepted recommendations on the basis of that, an exploration is taken into an alternative site then for our camp of balance in the EPAS area. Perfect. If we move then on to items 5 to 7, are with Anthony McKay and Anthony will pass it to yourself.
Cool. Thank you, Chair. The tables in terms of planning performance are before you. I'm not going to say an awful lot about them. Other than that, our current night caseload sits around 959. We're making reasonable progress in terms of reducing the backlog of applications. Currently, July and August. In the end of the period, had an impact in terms of the number of decisions issued. As you'll see there, page 11, there were 149 or 140 applications decided through July and August, which is down somewhat on previous months. But then we're back with the main lead period over. We should expect to see those figures return to previous levels. Just moving on to page 12, in terms of decisions issued over the course of the year, 90% of our applications result in planning approvals, and around 10% end up as refusals. And that leads me on to appeal decisions, which are for the most part appeals against refusal of planning permission, across on page 13. That table isn't particularly revealing, and we intend to revise the information that we present to you, but just for the purposes of this meeting, in terms of planning appeals, we have had 19 decisions issued by the Planning Appeals Commission since the start of June, and those would all be against applications that we had refused. And out of that, 90% of those appeals were dismissed. So in effect, the Planning Appeals Commission were endorsing the refusals of planning permission that were issued by this authority. So it should give some reassurance when it's suggested that we refuse an awful lot of planning applications. We only actually refuse about 10%. And of that 10%, an independent body has ruled that we were correct in refusing those. So that should give some reassurance as to the quality of decision making that is coming out of the planning committee. Just on page 15, which is the record of meetings between planning officers and public representatives, there's some gross under-reporting there. There are a great many more meetings taking place than are reflected in that list, and we need to have a look at how those meetings have been recorded, but I can assure you there's an awful lot more than this thing shown there. And just finally, those 18 pages of current appeals, I'm not entirely sure why they're in there, because they're not really revealing very much in the way of the performance. But we're looking at revising the format there to present something to you that's we'll use it. So I'm happy to take any questions.
Yeah, sure, thanks. I was really around enforcement and just looking at the report there, the negative cases are growing. Is that because of more reporting, or is it because that we're not being with those in terms of closing the bag, if you like, getting a result in terms of some kind of finality in terms of those individual cases, and then we generally close those. I know personally, I know other counselors that one significant amount of time they spend on planning issues is to do with enforcement. And those really have asked me, is there an issue there, or do we need to address? Thanks, sir.
There is an issue there. The number of enforcement cases is on the rise. Historically, shall we say, there's been quite a bit of lawlessness in this district in terms of the planning regulations. You only have to look at the list of applications coming in to see the number of retrospective applications that would give you a flavor for the degree of unauthorized activity going on. There's a lot more reporting going on since planning officers are based in the area, which was not the case when we were based in Craig Allen. Where I was around a lot more, we're picking up a lot more unauthorized activity, a lot more is being reported to us. We have had some staff that have been in enforcement recently, in the number of staff that they all go. The great deal of time is also taken up when you get beyond the point of serving enforcement notices and you get into the court appearances and the repeated court appearances to pursue these applications, to pursue these matters through prosecution. You know, so it's resource intensive. But I think that there is an awful lot of good work being done on the enforcement side. There are a great many enforcement notices being served, quite a number of enforcement teams. There is a huge backlog of court work, unfortunately, which we need to sort out, because when the council first came into being, there were quite a number of very high profile cases with very large financing inflows, and there's been a drop off in the last year or so simply because of the sheer volume of the enforcement work we've been doing. But there are a lot more cases in my opinion to go through the prosecution process. So there is an awful lot of good work being done there, and you will start to see that in the coming months. But hopefully the development industry out there is starting to take note that, you know, if they come and talk to us first, things will be a lot easier for everyone, rather than just go ahead and do what they're proposed to do regardless of whether they're permission to do so. Given that there is a rise in reporting and with the complexity here, is this something we need to look at in terms of allocating more staff and resources to? It means that we should do that, but I know it is a very important issue, John. Thank you.
We
have.
Sit back a bit, Martin. Sit back a bit.
We have added significantly to the.
Get right up the stairs there.
I need a pattern.
Maybe if you sing rather than talk.
We have added to the number of enforcement officers. We've effectively doubled it. We're just adding strength with some unexpected sickness. But as we make significant inroads into the backlog of live planning applications, you know, we will free up resources to devote to enforcement. So I don't think it's a case that we need more resources. As we get a problem issue, we can divert people into enforcement and other areas with your attention.
It's more information. The Southland Council, I was on the Ninja Farming and Regeneration Committee meeting in the past couple of weeks. I suppose one of the things that we seem to be paid by since we came into the new council was the backlog that was transferred over the legacy cases. And I think we were left with something like 1,600 plus, which we've got down now to 1,000, just over 900 plus. It was interesting at the meeting, a report was given by the Lisburn Council. They actually informed us at the meeting that they made it sound like they were left with quite a deluge of these things. They said the 250, and we're quite happy now that they were down to 25. So I think it gives us perspective of where we were as a council and what we were left with, and actually the work that we have done, we get back down to the number that we have. And that doesn't mean we rest on our laurels, but I think it gives us a perspective. Exactly what our staff have been able to do, and the impact that they've already had on.
Are we all happy with our panel reports?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And as the council manager said, Land Department has done a very good job, and just come back to all of us and people. And thank you very much for your hard work. If I can pass on to Kevin Scully for items 7A and 7B.
Sure. First item is to do with the tennis at the Bitten and Bloom Royal Horticultural Society Awards, which are to take place on 27th October in Llandudno in Wales. Newcastle Town was entered into the competition this year, as it was last year, under the Small Coastal Town category. The judging took place in early August this year, with two judges coming to the town. The council has been offered 5 invitations to attend the presentation in October, and we have provisionally accepted the 5 invitations, but it's your opportunity tonight to decide whether you want to send someone to the presentation and if you want to take up all 5 places. In terms of the 5 places, last year we sent one councillor and 2 officers, and one of the officers was actually from the squad within the Newcastle area who actually works on the ground. This year, if you wish to take up all 5 places, the suggestion from officers would be that 2 councillors would go and 2 officers would go. Again, one of the officers would be from the squad who works on the ground within Newcastle. And the 5th place we're suggesting this year, we work quite closely with 3 particular groups in Newcastle for this year's entry. We work closely with a charity called the Art Community Gardens. We also work closely with Autism NI, and we work closely with a group called Unity. So the 5th place we're suggesting, if you're in agreement, would be that we'd offer to a representative from one of those 3 groups. So if you accept the officer's view on it, we'd accept all 5, 2 councillors, 2 officers, and a representative from one of the 5 groups. In terms of costs, the cost for the 5 in terms of getting over to Llandudno and staying one night, you arrive on the Friday, the presentation's on the Friday evening, and you return back on the Saturday afternoon, and the cost for that for all 5 will be in around about £1,255. So, Chair, that's the recommendation from ourselves.
Mr. Stokes?
Yeah, sure. Just talking earlier with Mr. Slavik, who was involved with last year, and it was very worthwhile, so I certainly propose a recommendation, and I think that should include the Chair, Council Chair, and you as Chair of this committee.
Yeah, Chair, I checked that before, did you?
Yeah, what's on the
it's just we're similar thoughts ourselves. I think it's important to recognize the contribution of the workforce, but a considerable amount of effort has to be recognized. There's people to get covered, it has to be the workforce as well. The charities or the voluntary sector as well deserve an awful lot of credit as well. They work with community groups in that area, and particularly in Caswell Road. So I think the proposal covers everything.
I think we're going to be so good for it, because even more work's been done, and I'll start out to every one of those staff and all crew and stuff. It's fantastic last year with the silver gear, and I do honestly believe they'll come home with a gold this time. It was just tremendous, and it was fantastic to be there and for us to get that, because we weren't sure what the silver gear was initially. Then we realised, oh, that's just, it wasn't silver, it's higher than silver, so it was very good. I think even more work was, the only issue we had last time was that there was less involvement in community groups. They've turned that around, you've got loads of community group involvement, so definitely think there's a big gold coming. So just my take on it.
Thanks very much, Chair. We all know that DCAP has featured in the next bit of Bloom and other competitions in recent years. And again, echoing the sentiments of previous speakers, everybody involved will be committed for all the hard work and getting so far, even the Mindy Council. Last year, recognised DCAP for such a couple of such a wonderful display. And, you know, it's just getting the workplace to cast a lot of good luck. And also, the same goes to other towns and villages right across the district who work so hard also to reach the award stage. But that's a good day, and well done to all concerned. It's a great day to have.
Proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Clark, the Council recommendations that have been accepted.
Chair, the next item is relating to the terms of reference for a Councillor's Christmas Illuminations Stokes Celebrations Group. At this committee in June this year, the committee passed a recommendation which is outlined within the report, which is subsequently approved by the Council itself. And that recommendation was that this year we will continue to provide the same arrangements for Christmas celebrations for this year as we did last year, but that a working group will be set up to consider options for 2018 beyond, and it was agreed the working group would meet sometime in August, September this year, and that the issue of the membership of the group would be referred to the party reps forum. We did meet with the party reps this past Monday or Tuesday there, and the party reps were presented with the terms of reference, the draft terms of reference, which you now have in front of you as well. The party reps were content with those terms of reference, and they're presented here to yourselves today just for final ratification before the full council will be at the beginning of October. So, Chair, if the committee's content with that, just ask for their approval with the terms of reference, which already have been agreed with the party reps forum.
That's okay.
Yeah,
thank you, Chair. That's basically all I just want to do, is just propose that we accept the officer's recommendations.
Councillor Stokes?
Yeah, I'm just saying, just wondering what the name of that for one group of two, because they give the two names on that group, I can give the two names now if you want. Councillor Spavick and your subject.
For one group. And thank you for the administrative person. Kevin, would you like the nominees from each of the party groups then, just through to yourself, or?
I'll take them whatever way we can get them. I think an option will be writing out to the party leaders to get those names. But we have a meeting timetabled in for this coming Monday in Downpatrick. So if we're able to get those names back before the end of this week, we can go ahead with that meeting. If we don't get the names back, then we may have to delay it, and that just knocks things back further. So if we can get those names back to me, or that'll be great before the end of this week.
Chair, we'll be back for the end of the
I think that was on the proposal then of Councillor Craig and seconded by Councillor Stokes then, that the after that recommendation there agreed. All good? Councillor Rand, Councillor Clark. Thank you very much, all.
That's the date we have, but listen, if that's not going to suit the councillors, then we can shift that date to a more suitable date.
If you can maybe
go
on then to item
5
on councillors, which is section of the report from building control and capacity with the college act, please.
The report for you on the report system building, just to give some sort of background information as to what the Billy Crowe has been doing over the last 6 months. You see that the amount of applications that we received and processed on the building regulation team was 1,412 applications. The fees that we took in were 312,000, and the state inspection we carried out were 685. Now you see that the applications are a bit down on us on the same period last year. The fees are fairly consistent and the inspections are slightly down on the same period last year. As far as performance is concerned, we had some issues early on in the year in relation to some of our staff being up on long-term sick, and we had a bit of an issue with actually recruiting new staff. But I'm glad to say that everyone's back on board with it, and we have been successfully able to recruit our new staff very quickly in the last couple of weeks. So we normally are performance to take out a dip during the summer period, but we normally do get it back on target in our Halloween to Christmas time, so it's all been back on target, and I'm very confident that we will do the same again this year. In relation to enforcement, you see that there were 10 applications that are on our books. Anyone that is resolved means that we have received an application for those. The ones that are not resolved, we basically send a warning letter to them, and eventually they will end up in court if we don't if they don't put the application in. So again, we'd be working with those people and, you know, asking them what is the application and what's really to try and gain compliance rather than go down the legal route, whatever we will go down the legal route if we have to. As far as data structure is concerned, there we have 8 data structure notified to ourselves and remedial to be carried out all the 8 of those premises, and they are now resolved. Property stability, as you see, have taken a bit of an increase over the same period last year. This is up by 264, and that's normally an indication that property sales are going through, which is normally a healthy sign if property certificates are going up and means that sales are going through, and we will come to the street to check out the properties and make sure that they have a complete certificate. So that's normally a good sign for the district that the property certificates are up on the increase. Number 5 there is the risk assessment that we've carried out on our building supply risk assessments. We've carried out 20 in the last 6 months. We've got a hell of a lot more to carry out, but with more staff on board now, and I'd be confident that between the end of the Christmas that we'll be back on target with the final risk assessments. And the energy performance certificates, they're checks that we carried out with the state agents, and we go through enforcement at DP. We check state agents to make sure that any property they're selling or leasing has got an energy performance certificate attached to their building. Some buildings require energy certificates, and that's any building that is occupied by the Israelis is frequented by the public. The owners of the buildings are obliged to display their certificates, and we check their buildings to make sure that the certificates are on display. Air conditioning, again, any building that has large air conditioning units needs an energy certificate map, and our team will go in and check those out and make sure that they're up to an appropriate standard. And this is all about reducing energy consumption and the benefit of the district. So that's the building control report, and just quickly on to the licensing. Number one, the licensing, which is the amount of applications that we've actually processed, 6,649 applications processed within the last 6 months. The amount of licensing that I've actually granted is 6,410, so there's a hell of a lot of work being done by the licensing team. The annual inspection credit that's for entertainment licenses would be 220 licenses inspection credit within the last 6 months. And some of the councillors have asked for actually a list of all of the NCM licences that we've issued, and an item number two on that list just identifies all of the entertainment licences that we have issued over the last 6 months. Again, number three, the petroleum licences that have been issued, and number four, the list of amusement permits. Then the greater item of the item is the breakdown of annual welfare calls received in our districts. And the annual welfare cases, the inspections guidelines, street nameplates, item number six, the request for street nameplates, request for name 6, those name 6, 50 have been erected. There's some more still in the system, and not all of the nameplates have been that are requested actually put through to direction, because in some cases we have 10 surveys, and depending on the survey results, we do not erect the nameplates. So in the list of the single line nameplates, that there's a list of all the nameplates that have been erected in some of your areas. And in the last one, there's number 8 in relation to the geomangled nameplates that have been requested and have been erected. Post numbering, on to number 9, request for new post numbers in the district of 172 over the last 6 months, and the queries that they responded to in 2023. Again, request for new developments, they're authorized through Avenue through the delegated authority, and that's the name of the new developments that will appear in our district. So, I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, John. Thanks for that call. It's only actually when you see it listed out in the format column in which you presented it, you actually realize what a very busy department you have, considering that that's only 6 months old. Just two quick ones to be happy with. The number of applications received is down approximately 500 based on the correspondent period last year. But the fees are, give or take, a couple of grand are the same. And then the second one was, in relation to the EPC cert checks, 276 non-compliant after doing the check with the estate agents. So could you just put a wee bit more meat on the bones? What actually does that mean? How do you approach estate agents? Do you give them a chance to rectify it, or what's involved in that? Thanks, Tom. Thanks, John.
Sure, thanks, Jack. In relation to the applications down, that didn't come to as a big surprise. Myself. We were advised last year that the affordable one scheme was going to take a hit because the Northern Ireland Housing Executive could not process the kind of applications that they were dealing with. So therefore, they process the applications and refer them to us whenever they have granted approval. They refer them to us then to carry the inspections and issue the research survey. And they advise us that due to staff issues that they were concerned with, that they were not going to be able to continue on the same ratio as what they had been dealing with. And they are down to now approximately 40 a month, whereas beforehand we were dealing with in and around 150 a month. So I think that is the reason why the applications are down. I think the reason why the money is quite consistent is because the type of applications that we're receiving has changed. During the recession, we relied heavily on those grant-aided applications to keep us going. But the intent is to believe it, and we're dealing with actually new, a lot more housing developments and a lot more one-off applications now. Those attract a higher fee, and therefore I think that's why the fees are a bit more consistent. In relation to the EPB checks that we've carried out, I'll just come to it. In general, we would do, we would have staff that would actually visit the individual estate agents within our district. We would check out their websites, and we would also do carry spot checks within their premises.
every property that is either up for sale or up for rent has to have an energy performance certificate. And our officer will go in and make sure that the certificate is attached to the advert. Now, in some cases, it's just a simple matter where they have the detail, but they just haven't provided it on the advert. And we'll even, you know, where we would say if we find that they haven't got it at all, we would then give them maybe a couple of days or so to get the energy rating, produce it, and attach it to the advert. And in the case of that, then we won't pursue any further. In some cases, we would actually want to issue them with warning letters. Normally, the time they would be issuing them with the warning letters, they actually adhere to what they're looking for, and they do produce the new certificates in due course then.
So, have you got that?
Yeah, can I just come back?
Sure.
Thanks for that, Colin, especially the one with the saviors. And so, can I take it from that then that it's an educational journey for them as well? So, once they get to visit, it's more likely than not they never have to go back to that because they realize now that they have to be compliant.
Yeah, as you understand, this is sort of new legislation to us all, and we realized at the start that it would be an education process for everyone. What I would recommend doing in the near future is bringing all of these agencies in here and actually sit down with them and say, look, we've given you enough time now, you know over the last year or two what we expect from you, and draw a line in the sand and say, you know, we're going to have to start enforcing from here on, and actually then take those, you know, an item that warrants that we would have to issue being pursued to get them. We really realised that it was, you know, initially that it was a learning process for ourselves and also for the state agents. And I must say, from what I gather, most of them are quite good.
Thanks,
Andrew.
Thanks so much, Chair. More information has been a very concise report. In fact, it demonstrates really how much work is done in the department especially over the past 6 months. And again, in relation to the poverty certificates, etc., it's good to see a bit more movement in the right direction. And the federal law is very informative, and it gives us a snapshot of what's happening across the district. And again, you know, there's been a lot of challenges along the way since 2015, and you know, it's good to hear the different state agents in for TAP, along with the responsibilities on the EPD thing. But again, it's been
Thank you, Chair. And again, Colin, thank you very much for a very detailed report. Could I just ask for clarity? I didn't know that in the action sheet as to do with licenses and permits, where this committee actually deliberate on licenses and permits now. And I did note that the first stage of the hearing was to be the 27th of September. Is that still, do you take it as read?
Yeah. That is correct. We've received one application when we've gone out to public advertising. We've received objections to it. Notification, I think, was going out today for that meeting. That hearing will come here next week. This committee will have to make a decision whether to either grant or refuse a license for that particular premises. And that's the first one that we'll try to deal with on the new council. Obviously, we are the first one that this committee will have to make a decision on.
Can I take that in the installing action sheet to know if there's possible other requests that are not done?
Does anyone have any queries in regards to the items that we've been far side further? No? We can move them. The next two items I can also see are also for open regarding our 21, unless anyone has any issues regarding it? No. Can we move then on to the installing action sheet and see if you'd like to?
There isn't much movement from last month. You remember in previous meetings that we've had, we currently have something like a list of about 15 requests for bus shelters. In this area, in this financial year, we've got a budget secured for about £30,000 for bus shelters. So the budget we have would not be able to meet all the requests. And the case I put to the committee previously was that TransLink also have a role to play in terms of provision of bus shelters. And they have, they're in the process of working through a new agreement, which I believe is almost ready, where they will have a relationship with a private supplier who can provide bus shelters. They too will have a policy which they will work with in order to determine requests. And the committee here agreed at that time that when we get requests that previously we have jumped in and we have provided the bus shelter or technical through our system without maybe referring it back through to TransLink or other possible providers. And we've agreed that what we should do, particularly in cases like that, where it's a particularly busy bus shelter, a bus stop, and it is used by TransLink a lot. It's picking up passengers of theirs. But that's a prime spot where TransLink should really consider providing the bus shelter, which would allow the council to use its limited budget for other requests which TransLink are not likely to comply with. Those were the shelters that we're being asked to supply for school runs and places like that. So it's trying to make best use of our budget. So at the moment, that request is sitting with TransLink. TransLink are still working through their process in order to get their policy complete, and they've advised me no later than this week that they will consider the request for Sheepbridge. We actually have two at Sheepbridge, one on either side of the road, one going the Belfast direction and one coming in Newry. And they are two sites that, in my view, are well used by passengers and are ideal for the provision of a bus shelter.
Sure, if I may ask, can I get just to simple response from that? Could you email me on that? The reason I ask, and I said, oh, this was last month, and it's said to you, is that the really best what's in Belfast? It's telling me that another fellow traveller had contacted the council and was told that they could stick TransLink, and then TransLink and Ham turned around and said that they needed to get a map from the council that's responsible for TransLink.
I was copied into those emails. If I'm thinking about the same thing, I was contacted by email, and I think the person told me that they had contacted TransLink, and TransLink has said no, they don't provide bus shelters. Now, the only explanation I can give to that is that they've perhaps contacted the local bus station, whereas the actual provision of this service is carried out from headquarters in Belfast. And yes, I gave that person the contact details, told them what we were doing, suggested that if they want to, they could contact TransLink themselves, and I gave them the email address for who I use. They subsequently sent that request off, and they got a reply asking them for a site location map. I agree. For a member of the public to be asked to provide that, it's very difficult. I was able to provide the person with the plan that we have, which they would then subsequently be able to pass it through. But yes, you're right. I mean, some people at home would be able to do that, but by and large, most people just wouldn't have the ability to do that.
I think it's just what I do. Based on making some progress, and really that's just confused the person. And we're based at the same time, so it's just looking past them on the front of the other. So I think obviously there seems to be some sort of progress on it, but maybe you could provide some clarity on that.
I'm happy to do that, sure. There is an impasse at the moment. I explained that last month as well. The first year for the new council, we did manage to spend the £30,000, and indeed in the second year. Now, there has been an impasse at the moment, and that's to do with two things, really. It's to do with the issues we currently have with both TransLink and TNI in terms of getting responses back, and we have to work our way through that. But in addition to that, in terms of our own resources, we need to complete our organisational structure to ensure that we have staff there. At the moment, I'm dealing with these requests, and really, it shouldn't really be me that's dealing with these requests, but at the moment, that's where it sits.
Thank you.
Councillor
Sutter?
Okay.
Back over.
Okay. Is it about the bus shelter as well? You know, it's been ongoing and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. Another thing that has been just been asked for me to raise as well is that I'm not sure if it's our department or whatever, my Facebook chancellor and I maybe have to work with him or whatever. He said the parking lights aren't big enough, and I know that that's an issue that we all know about, but is there an ability there for us to extend? Is that council, you know, part of us, that chancellor and I? Just that way that, you know, the facility there is great, but it's just so crazy. You know what I mean? People are parking on the curbs. You know, and that will cause maybe problems, whatever, long term. But if together, maybe those two, you know, the Transport NI Council and Transport work together, maybe, you know, a bigger parking lot could be investigated.
The facility itself is in the ownership of TNI.
Yes.
I'm told that TNI are actually coming to the council, to the full council meeting within the next month or so, and it's something maybe that the members would want to raise at that stage. We know that it's not a park and ride, it's a park and share, is it? Is there a difference? It's a park and share facility. And there was two. There was one at Sheepbridge and the other one was at Clog. And as part of that Clog the Beach Hill sort of road scheme. Now the one at Clog doesn't seem to be used to the same extent as the one at Sheepbridge, which is very popular. It has been raised in the past, but it's something that the council can raise with TNI when it meets it within the next month or so.
Thanks, Kevin. Thank you, Bill, up here. I'm well aware that Councillor Taylor and I have been pushing on this issue for a long time now. Can I just give a bit of guidance on you were saying we have a budget of 30k for bus shelters. To install bus shelters for TNA or Transport NA for their engagement is not required. Can you confirm that actually is the case? If that is so, is it possible that we can put a deadline on these responses to get a decision made on this particular site? Has it already been referred to how busy this is and how important this is to the people that use it, and this whole thing of encouraging people to use public transport? I think we all, Chair, would agree that the general public do not understand the nuances of these processes and applications. But I have expressed frustration time and again to Kevin Scullion, and I know what he's doing is best for me. But it gets to the point, Chair, where when you're dealing with constituents who are continuously coming back to you can tell by their body language, they no longer believe you that you're actually trying to get this sorted. And in fact, the old one, the boy who cried wolf, they just stopped believing you. So Kevin, I do thank you for the work that you're doing, but is there a possibility that we can put our own deadline on this and say, right, well, if it's not sorted out by X, Y, or Z time, that we will, in fact, go into our own budget and do what we do elsewhere?
Sure, the committee can do that. The committee can make that recommendation, and if it's accepted, then that means the committee might decide that that I write to TransLink again and say unless they come back within the next 2-3 weeks or whatever, that the council will then commence its own process of taking this one through, but that the council would certainly wish that a busy site like this is one that the TransLink would see as a priority just as we do. So if the committee is minded to give that direction, I'm happy to follow that direction.
Because what they wanted to talk about was the reason that
maybe go down to the Charter for Cancers, maybe a joint, maybe at the next public DA meeting that represents some transport in or whatever, do come along to public meetings and inform people on exactly what's happening. And I'd be always coming from Charles because by the time you make representations, I'm still trying to say that they've gone off. And I have these frustrations, and maybe it's related to the DEA meeting as well to let residents over the known areas what's going on. And I want to be happy to send the dogs before this.
I know where the numbers are coming from. I think you're showing that in Trump's state office. Bureau of Aid has said, listen, we're giving you 2 weeks, you don't come back to us, we're going to do it that way. You know, you're sort of saying them. And I don't mind that, I've never said that for a minute. You didn't get on with it. You know, why would you then say, no, don't do that, we'll put it in? You know, I think you're getting a lot better. So I would urge caution in regards to the proposal. And I'm very easy officer, a bit of flexibility, and I'm always the next thing. So it's having a good day, and then the result will go ahead. So,
yes,
do we want then to have it that we review the situation over the next month, and if it has not improved then on the recommendations put before the proposed by Councillor Tindley, that we then write to Transport NIA and ask them for a deadline on this, otherwise the council then will explore its own options.
I suppose, Chairman, to do it formally, I'm content to withdraw the proposal, to let Kevin do additional work on this, and then we revisit the
Our members happy and content with that, though? Let's go on then. Has anyone else got any issues regarding this great atmosphere?
We're going to have a debate, but we're going to get that to you so at least some recommendations come back.
I'd love to give a date. We reviewed and we're now going through working up options and costings for particular public conveniences as a priority in the Newcastle area. And I'm also commissioning work for the other toilets to also be assessed. So what I want to bring to you is a comprehensive assessment of condition, location, footfall, maintenance, and then with that, options for repair, replacement, or closure, and with that, costs in time for the budget setting process. So I'm now waiting, and I'm going to be chasing the costings of what works are needed. So for instance, there are toilets that can't be repaired, they need to be replaced. So what is the typical cost of that replacement? So you have it all in front of you. We've no doubt a significant variance of costings, but then it's open to yourselves to then recommend how we move forward. It's got to feed the rate setting process.
Thanks very much, Chair. I'm listening to the concerns concerns. I know this has been kicking about for some time because I had issues in the public toilets in the own constituency in Rowell, and also recently in the case of Margaret St. Brown Paddock, a disabled person couldn't get a public toilet during daily hours because of the timing mechanism was locked. But I do hope that the written branch review for all our facilities are kind of, and I do welcome the facilities for purposes, like you'll never be able to come in the area. So I look forward to the report, 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 the report